Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The ladies have left the building. Hugh Weber has come in, and we're still talking about building people of character and mentorship and guidance. Hugh Weber, in case you don't know, is an SDPB contributor, host of the Potluck Society. You can find that wherever you get your podcasts. You can also hear it at listen.sdpb.org. Hugh, welcome back.
It's so good to be here.
What a great conversation.
Yeah, that's right. And it was coincidence that I showed up and they left. Those things weren't related.
No. That you could have fit right into that conversation and talked about time and balance and meeting others and networking and those surprising connections. And isn't it true when you walk around here, you're always like, do I know you from somewhere? And then it turns out you do.
That's exactly right.
You were in ballet class together. All right, Potluck Society this week, who are we meeting?
You know, I like to hold on to conversations a little bit just to let them percolate and develop. But this was one that I had to bring a little bit half-baked. So this won't appear in this week's episode of the Potluck. It'll be a week from now. But I just wanted to offer a tease of Marshall Pollard. So Marshall and I, he tells the story much more romantically than I do. But I was a Forrest Gump-like character on a bus in Geneva, Switzerland a couple years ago, just looking for a seat. Yeah. And Marshall now claims in hindsight that maybe he was looking for me and we were both open to connection, because it led to this very serendipitous conversation around the way we view connection and how that's true whether you're serving, you know, creatives in the upper Midwest or you're serving a group of young African-American boys in D.C. And that happens to be Marshall's story. So this week is kind of just a tease. You're just going to get about 6 minutes of what was a little over an hour and a half conversation. But I think it's a good start. So why don't we introduce Marshall? So Marshall, you know, he walks us through a little bit of the last several years of his work. He considers Birmingham home, now lives in D.C., but he shares a little bit of that work in the African-American community over the last several years.
You know, the evidence is clear. We are healthier when we are living lives with a robust network of positive and diverse people around us. I mean, it's not rocket science. When you know people and stories from across a variety of intersections and privilege, your view of humanity is a whole lot better. And I think being in Birmingham as an ambiguously brown person who fits very well in the black community but doesn't necessarily come across as black as soon as you see me. It was in the history of civil rights and all of those identity markers in Birmingham. It was tough. It was very tough. And honestly, the education scene, because of its rich history, was just so behind. And I think some of the innovation that I desired to do led me back to D.C. So that's where I'm at now. I lead an academy for third through fifth grade boys in Southeast D.C., which is some of the most hopeless communities in our country, but some of the most gifted and resilient. We were talking about this last night. There's just a nature of hustle in this city like I've never seen it. And the community that I get to work in definitely exemplifies that. And so I run an academy out of a school. The mission of the Boys Institute is to develop young men characterized by lives of hope, self-discipline, integrity, and love. And the whole purpose of that is to pursue justice and equity for themselves. What it boils down to when I have conversations with people is that I go to work to celebrate black boys. I go to work to look at them in the eyes and tell them that they are important and that their story is important. And given my background as an organizer, I've surrounded them with a network of men who look like them and who represent a variety of different walks of life to give them a perspective of what their future could and should be, and just to surround them with people who demand excellence for them. When you have these boys who are living in situations that words can't express how stressful they are, and you go to school and all of a sudden school becomes liberating. School is not a sit down and do school to you, but you come to school and the purpose of what we're trying to build is an opportunity for them to say, this is what school should be for me. And if my story is being told, then how do I get to tell that story? And how do I tap into the different parts of my cultural and communal identity and to have fun and to be celebrated? And so we're in year one. We're concluding the first year. And this year we've kind of thrown a whole bunch of ideas and vision on the wall and seen what stick. And next year we have a pretty clear plan of what that's going to look like. And it's going to focus on identity, and really through art. And can talk more about the creative school, which is what we've launched this year to do that. The second piece is investment. And so how do we increase the number of African-American men, but also mobilize African-American men, hoping to create a job center for men in Southeast that the boys can be a part of. And third is incubation. How do we become the best school, the best, and you don't even have to say school, the best movement for what it means to educate Black boys, and how do we do that in a way that's never been done? And so that's where we've landed. I'm excited, and I'm just thankful. You know, you're in a season at the end of the first year of a huge transition, and you can just look back, and this is kind of what I said, that this work that I'm getting to do and the work that I'm hoping to do in the future is a reflection of gifts that, you know, I've been blessed with. But also puts me in such a position to kind of wrestle with my humanity, wrestle with the things I'm not good at, wrestle with the things that I don't need to be good at, but I need to connect others to be good at, because I'm not from their community. I'm not their father. I'm not a DC native, which is I take a big deal when it comes to that identity marker. So yeah, man, I mean, as you can tell, I can talk about it all day, but I'm thankful for the role that I have to try to shift the narrative for what it means to be young and Black and gifted, and to be a boy, which is something that this country needs to wrestle with. How are we treating our young Black boys?
So we could not be in different contexts. Marshall and I couldn't have more different stories, but we have this shared language of connection, celebration, and creativity that we'll explore in the podcast. But for the second segment today, I want to talk a little bit about this idea of gifts. I've heard it a lot in the past in faith communities, this idea of being gifted or blessed, but I wasn't familiar with it in the idea of kind of a broader life. So I asked Marshall to explain the idea of gifts.
That's been the history of the last really 4 years of my career, is realizing I'm really good at creating space, and I'm passionate about it. It's something that I'm natural at bringing together people who don't occupy a space. And I think that has just a lot to do with me. And I think that when we lean into where we come from, the good, the bad, the beautiful, the beautifully tragic, when we lean into our story and we operate out of that narrative, I think life is better. And I think for whatever reason, we all do that. We all are a product of our past, and so I think it's just trying to be in tune with that. And I'm not saying that I do a good job at that, but I think given my background as a, like I said, a military brat, as someone who has been in a lot of spaces, and honestly, who grew up in a household that, you know, I can dig into this, but through some substance abuse, you know, struggled with being taught who I am and who I'm not, and having to do a lot of that discovery on my own. And which I think is a part of our generation, to be honest. But through that story, and through just the happenstance of collisions and creating spaces for really diverse people, I've been responsible for creating rooms where CEOs and mothers, who live in housing communities come together and see each other as equal. And I think that has pushed me to say, well, what does that mean about who I am? I don't have Vonterica Davis's gifts. I can't cook like she can. I can't mother like she can. I can't work the type of jobs that she does, multiple jobs to provide for her family. It's not my story. But what can I do to create the space where she can do all that really well, right? Where she can she can be connected to the people who can make sure that her boys have meaningful opportunities to develop as young men, where she can have housing and employment and things that, without that space being created, right? Because of the role that privilege plays in this country, how do I use my privilege just to create that space to make those connections happen? And so I think that's been where I've discovered my gifts, is when I've been around people who I realize you are so gifted in ways I'm not. And so how does that push me to then reflect and to act out of the things that I'm good at, and to be okay and accept the things that I'm not, and just surround myself with people who are, so that life is richer.
All right, Hugh Weber, I think that's our time for today. Hugh Weber is the host of the Potluck Society. You can find it online at listen.sdpb.org. Hugh, sorry we ran out of time, but thanks for coming.
No problem. I'll see you next week.